All right, well, welcome in Auburn head basketball coach Bruce Pearl joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline. Coach, I'll start with this. Trip to Omaha, how was it? Was that your first time that you've been able to take in the College World Series?
No, it was actually the second time. I went out there when Butch played Mississippi State.
Got it.
And almost won that first game, had unbelievable pitching doing. And we had the lead going out of the bottom of the top of the ninth. And, you know, Mississippi State won, I think they won the national championship that year. And so, yeah, this is my second time out there. And if you've not gone, you're missing something as a sports fan, certainly as a college baseball fan. It's unbelievable, the atmosphere, the environment. It would be the kind of thing that if you love baseball, don't even worry if your team's not there. Just go.
Right.
Just go for a couple of days and go watch some unbelievable baseball in a fantastic environment.
I would agree 100%. Bruce Pearl with us on the Bud Light Hotline. So, Coach, we're having a conversation mainly about football, and just because you're coming on, I wanted to involve you in this because I always love talking strategy with you and mindset and sort of direction and different things with your basketball teams. We were talking about a little more with football, but then it kind of turned into a bigger picture conversation of, you know, McElroy really values teams that lose close kind of going into the next year. And so we started talking about, you know, Clemson last year, Nebraska last year, had some tight games that they lost. We shouldn't frown upon them as much. Then we started taking that into, well, think about how much more you learn when you lose a close game. I mean, think about how you call a game. Think about players who play when you're down 40, when you're down 30 in the fourth quarter or late in the second half of a basketball game. Could you just take us through your personal philosophy, maybe what you adjust, how you coach a little bit different, or what you know your team is or is not going to learn when maybe a team hits a last second half-court shot and your team goes down, as opposed to, you know, you're down 25-30 in the second half and you know you're not coming back, and it's just a totally different way to lose two games?
Yeah, I mean, I ain't trying to lose any games, right? So whether you lose close or get blown out, I ain't trying to, you learn more from losing. Let me tell you something. After we win, I am miserable to those kids the next day. Like, I mean, it's the time because they're happy. So you can coach them because they're happy and you can break them down and you can, you know, get when they're losing or when we lose, then I got to kind of build them up a little bit. And so I'm a little kinder, gentler, sweeter Coach Pearl, after a loss. You know, with the analytics right now, you know, close losses matter. You know, and so getting blown out analytically actually hurts you in the net. They take all that stuff into account. I think when you get blown out sometimes by a team, and there's no question, clear cut, which team is better, that could leave some scarring. Because that could definitely lead to some, you know, some self-doubt. They don't hurt as much because you never was in position to win it. Overtime losses are sickening. They're gut-wrenching because you had it. You had so many, and it only going to come down to, you know, to one or two plays. You know, I'm not sure what locker room's easier to handle. I mean, after you get beat at the buzzer, there are a lot of tears in the locker room. They just are. You get beat by 30, and you can't hardly wait to grab your gear and get on that bus and get out of there.
It feels like, and Coach, I'm blanking off the top of my head. I feel like there were a couple close losses that y'all experienced last year, and you bounced back beautifully, right? We're able to obviously instill in the guys, hey, man, we do this differently. We tweak this. We make this happen. And next thing you know, we have a different result. It felt like that happened throughout the course of this past year, and you've had that happen over the course of your career. So what are some of the messages that you send to the team after a close loss?
Well, I mean, there are different ways to win the game. And obviously, you know, so often, you know, you dream of that 3-2-1 shot. Like we got to score a basket to win a game. And what I think a lot of players realize is, wait, we just needed to stop. Like we just needed a rebound there. Like we just needed to keep them off the free throw line and not foul and just play through the possession and make them make that tough too. So, I mean, look, you're on defense half the time. And the difference between football and basketball is in basketball, you got to play offense and defense. In football, you got an offensive team, you have a defensive team. And so often in close games, you're going to think about a shot missed or a last possession you didn't get the look you're looking for. Wait a second. You need to stop. You need to rebound. You need to take a charge. You need to make a steal. You need to block a shot. You need to get a deflection. And so those things are oftentimes things you could control. Okay, what could we have controlled to win that game and have that be? That's what I want my guys to focus on. I want them to worry about what they control and not really worry about, you know, necessarily, you know, what they can't control. We have typically ended well because we play 9 or 10 guys double-digit minutes. I'm not playing guys 35. Like Jabari Smith, there's 40 minutes of the college game. Jabari Smith averaged 29 minutes a game. That means he was off the floor 11 minutes, 12 minutes a game. By choice, not by foul trouble. And that's because at the end of games, and typically at the end of a season. Now, at the end of this season, I did think we were a little tired. And we clearly, in January and early February, we were the best team in college basketball. We were better. If the Final Four, if the March Madness was in January, I think we would have won it because we were winning it at that time. And then a little bit later in the season, whether it was fatigue or guard play, or maybe, you know, maybe getting upset by a really hot Texas A&M team or a really hot Miami team. Look, the two teams that we lost to at the end, after they beat us, they kept winning. Like Texas A&M won a couple more games in the SEC tournament. Miami won a couple more games and led at halftime to beat the eventual national champion, Kansas. So we lost to two pretty good teams at the end of the year.
Visiting with Auburn head basketball coach Bruce Pearl on the Bud Light Hotline. Coach, you brought up Jabari Smith, and most people believe that he'll be the first player off the board. We know the skill set. We've seen it. We know the range. We know the size, obviously the height. But from a competitive nature, do you have anything behind the scenes that if NBA scouts came to you and said, tell me about the competitive nature of this young man that we don't see. Tell me about how this guy competes, where parts of, you know, being inside the facility, being around his teammates. What would you share with those scouts if that was maybe a concern that they had heading into this draft?
Yeah, I don't think there's a concern there, but I think the question speaks to, I think the number one reason why you take him, number one, absolutely the jump shot is the best from any man his size in the last 10 years in college basketball. You know, all the way to KD maybe. All right. So that's pure. That translates and that's productivity right away. The second thing is he can guard 1 through 5, because he does compete defensively. But the number one reason is the kid doesn't lose. That's number one. He doesn't lose. Like Orlando's got pieces. They got some really good pieces, but they've not been able to win. Jabari Smith is the glue that will help that team win. I don't care if it's free throw contest. I don't care if it's 3-on-3. I don't care if it's pig or horse. He's not losing. And when he does lose, which is not often, he's wearing it. And he's miserable. And when he does win, he doesn't mind. He smiles. And he doesn't mind reminding you that he just beat your ass. And I love it. So that competitive spirit and that absolute, you know, just like, and the thing is, he impacts the other four guys on the floor or the other guys on the bench in that way. And that's rare. I see that once a generation.
I love him too, Coach. I mean, he seems amazing and he seems like a great kid. You know, everything you read, everything you hear, everything you've told us, he's a hard guy not to root for. That's for sure. I do, however, want you to play analyst for a half second. Let's take your guy out of it. Easy decision who you'd take number one. Let's just say, who would you take number two though? If you're looking at Chet Holmgren or Paolo Banchero or some of these other guys, I love the kid, Benedict Mathurin from Arizona. He's amazing. I love his game. Yep. Who would be the next guy that you would consider?
Well, the kid from Arizona is going to go higher than what he's projected. I agree with you. He's got a toughness to him. I take Pablo, because I do think that he was the best player in high school. He was. And he was for a couple of years. He was a man amongst boys. And I do think that obviously he had a really good year at Duke. And I do think that, you know, he is a consistent jump shot away from being an NBA All-Star type player. But I think he's going to be a very, very productive pro. And he's got a very strong mindset. Look, Chet's intriguing, but so is Sean Bradley. And, Sean Bradley was, 7'4", 7'5", but the NBA stands for no boys allowed. And that body scares me. It just does. And, he goes knee to knee with the wrong guy. And he's going to get, he could get broken in half. And so therefore, at the very top of the draft, I think I got to go with what I know, not what potentially could maybe someday be.
Coach Pearl, tell us what you know about what kind of a pro Walker Kessler is also going to be. A little bit lost in the mix here just because Jabari is a good chance he can be the number one overall pick, but defensive player of the year, guy had an amazing run for you at Auburn last season. What kind of a pro do you know Walker Kessler will make?
Well, I'm not sure that there was a player in college basketball that made more progress from year to year than Walker Kessler. He's like averaging 9 or 10 minutes a game at North Carolina, averaging 3 or 4 points a game. Confidence is really shot. And he comes in to Auburn. And you know what? He was good early, but not great. And then he just continued to get better and better. So therefore, it wasn't what we did. It was what was in him. It was all in him. At 7'1", 260 pounds, he's an amazing athlete. I mean, people don't talk about his athleticism, his speed, his quickness, his ability to move laterally, obviously his ability to elevate. And he's not 7 foot. He's 7'1" and a little bit. And an inch and a half make a big, big difference. I think, so obviously he's obviously able to impact the game. I thought he was the most impactful player in college basketball last year because of what he did at the rim, both offensively and defensively. In the air, he caught everything. He finished everything. He did in a traffic and block shots, chain shots. He was quick off the floor with his second bounce. So many times he was able to block it and get it himself. Offensively, he can shoot it. And I know he launched 50 of them, and he didn't make many for us last year, but the first step is the willingness to look at it and let it fly in a game. That's the willingness to go ahead and make that. That's going to help him. I think he's going to be a dominating three-point shooter at the next level. Al Horford never made a three at Florida. Never made a three at Florida. And he's one of the better stretch fives in the NBA, at his age. So he developed Walker's ahead of him. He could be like one of the Lopez twins. A factor at the rim and a factor at the three-point line.
Man. Wonderful stuff, Coach Pearl. Really do appreciate the time. Enjoy it tomorrow. I know it's going to be really cool for you. And we look forward to catching up again soon.
Very, very excited for those young men, very excited for those families, and very blessed that they trusted Auburn and they rewarded us with a championship.
Absolutely. Thanks, Coach Pearl. Catch up soon.
Okay, guys. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Bruce Pearl joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.